Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York, and for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Rather interesting Monday Night Raw. Before we get into it, however, a little bit of news on the Charlotte Flair situation, which quite frankly I'm skeptical about. Charlotte Flair, before Monday Night Raw, took to Twitter to announce that the reason she has been absent, and apparently the reason that she's been removed from the WrestleMania posters, is that she tested positive for COVID-19, and she is in quarantine. Now, she has not said whether she's ill. She has not said she has symptoms or whether she's asymptomatic. She's just said she's resting and she's in quarantine. Well, quarantine is 14 days. Drew McIntyre had to quarantine for 14 days. AJ Styles quarantined for 14 days. 14 days is still a week or 10 days if you really want to talk about when she was diagnosed. Probably 2 weeks. Or WrestleMania, 2 full weeks. So I'm not buying this as a complete excuse unless she's actually ill. Now, she's actually ill, and she has symptoms, and she's having fever or shortness of breath or you know, any of the other things that come with it, and she's being treated, actively treated for it. Then, yeah, that could take a month. That could take a month. I mean, that could take a little, much longer. But there's no indication that that's the case. If there is, she should come out and say it. So is there more going on than just this? I don't know. Because if she's asymptomatic and she's just in quarantine as a precaution because she's been around people who tested positive, or she tested positive herself, but she's asymptomatic, 14 days is it. And then you would obviously be able to go right ahead and do what you need to do. I mean, she doesn't necessarily have to miss WrestleMania. So more than we're being told is going on. Either she's not asymptomatic and she's ill. And by the way, regardless, we wish her speedy recovery well. Or there's a little bit more to the story. I'm not sure which it is. And we'll try to keep an eye on it, but the WWE is going to be very close-mouthed about this. Very close-mouthed. Now, maybe they're just figuring we'll err on the side of caution and give her more time. But, that's usually not what the WWE does. They didn't do it with Drew McIntyre. They had him back for his pay-per-view match, and that wasn't even WrestleMania. I'm not sure he tested positive. He was just around someone who did and quarantined. Apparently, Charlotte tested positive. So we'll try to bring in more to the story if we know it, but as it stands now, it seems a little odd because she didn't take to Twitter to say, I've tested positive and I have symptoms and I'm not well and I'm undergoing treatment or I'm sick. She didn't say that at all. She simply said, I'm quarantining. I'm resting. So we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening, and we'll see if Charlotte Flair does make it back in some capacity by WrestleMania. Anyway, let's get right to this, because this show started off with, obviously, Bobby Lashley in the ring. He's going to take on Sheamus. And once again, Sheamus pulls a good match out of Bobby Lashley. But the entire kind of focus of this match, which is kind of interesting, is this time the Hurt Business is at ringside. And this time the Hurt Business is actively distracting Sheamus. And Bobby Lashley doesn't seem to like it. Two or three times he told Cedric Alexander, this isn't the time. I don't need your help. MVP was also kind of telling him, just chill, let Bobby Lashley do what he does. And at the end of the match, after Lashley had submitted Sheamus, business kind of attacks Sheamus, and Drew McIntyre comes to his rescue. Now, that's not too surprising, even though I thought there'd be some kind of reconciliation. But what is surprising is what happens afterwards, because what happens afterwards makes no sense. Bobby Lashley confronts them, and so does MVP, and says, I don't know what the hell you think you were doing out there, but you made me look bad. You made it look as if I couldn't beat Sheamus by myself. And then MVP reiterates that, saying you have no idea what you did. You've tarnished his reputation. Because now the implication that you gave is that Bobby Lashley couldn't beat Sheamus by himself and needed your help to do it. Which is fine. If you want to play that angle up, that's fine. It's a little weird, because you never cared before and you're supposed to be heels. But if that's the angle you want to go with, fine. But then why do you then say, if you guys can't get the job done later on in the show, if you guys can't get the job done, I'll find somebody who does, and actively seek someone else's help? If you go to the dressing room and say, whoever takes out Drew McIntyre before WrestleMania will get a title shot from me, are you not then implicating that you can't beat Drew McIntyre by yourself? It doesn't make any sense. If you're trying to say Bobby Lashley wants no help, Bobby Lashley has decided, I'm too proud for this, I'm too good for this, I can beat these people by myself, and he's mad at his own brethren in the Hurt Business for making it look like he needs their help, why in the hell would you then go to a dressing room full of people and say, I need your help? That doesn't make any sense at all. Zero sense does that make. So I don't know, Mike. I mean, I'm a little confused by where they're going with this, because it looks like they're trying to break up the Hurt Business, but at the same time, it's illogical, because the very thing that Bobby Lashley says he does not want, he then later on actively seeks out.
Right. It doesn't make sense, unless another way it could make sense is this is them trying to recruit somebody else to be in the Hurt Business, which they have yet to give the inkling that they are trying to recruit somebody else to get into the Hurt Business. In fact, they give the other, it goes the other way in the fact that the way they acted at the time of the match is, well, we're going to divorce ourselves from Alexander and Shelton Benjamin, you know? So, I mean, all in all, it doesn't make sense. And, you know, also, I like the reaction of Sheamus when he's trying to do an interview and the comedy guy that is Riddle comes up and tries to go into business with him. He takes that scooter and bashes Riddle in the stomach with it, you know? That was fun.
Yeah, look, it's going to be pretty hard to root against Sheamus if he's going against Riddle, to be honest with you. But for this point, even if they're trying to recruit other people for the Hurt Business, it still doesn't make any sense. Because Bobby Lashley and MVP are mad because Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander interfered or gave the impression that Lashley could not beat someone by himself. Lashley then goes into a dressing room and basically says, I can't beat anybody by myself, so I need you guys to help me. So anybody who wants to help me, feel free to help me. Well, how does that not make Bobby Lashley look bad? If he's saying Cedric Alexander and Sheldon Benjamin made him look bad against Sheamus, you walked into a dressing room and openly said, I need help. So the whole premise that he's mad because he got help makes no sense. It's a very bad storyline. Very, very bad storyline. If anything, You should have gave Sheamus the win then. I know that that's radical. But if you were going to do that where Bobby Lashley was mad, you should have just gave Sheamus a little roll-up victory that meant nothing. And then he could have said, you cost me the match because you're inept. I don't mind your help, but you're not helping. That actually distracted me. Then I could see him saying, your help is inept. It's not that I don't want the help. It's that your help actually cost me a match. No, they openly said, we don't want your help. We don't need your help. And then storm into a dressing room and saying, I need help. I don't know, Todd. I mean, to me, this just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with this whole thing doesn't make any sense with the Riddle, the Hurt business, the Sheamus thing, and everything is don't make any sense at all. You're absolutely right there.
We're not talking about Riddle. We're not talking about Riddle at all. We're talking strictly about Bobby Lashley saying, I don't need anybody's help. And then walking into a dressing room and saying, I need help. That does not make sense. The thing with Riddle makes sense. I mean, if you're going to have Sheamus fight him, that makes sense. So we're not talking about Riddle. We're just simply talking about the contradicting of, I don't want anybody's help because it makes me look like I can't beat someone by myself. And then walking into a dressing room saying, I could use some help. Doesn't make sense. Didn't like it. Don't like the idea that the Hurt business might have some dissension in the ranks. It's just not a good idea. So overall, give the match a very good rating. Sheamus pulled a great match out of Bobby Lashley again, but the angle itself, terrible. Now, speaking of terrible, we then get a match with Peyton Royce, who deserves, obviously, her chance, and it looks like they're going to make her something. I mean, she gave Asuka a lot of offense. And to her credit, Asuka sold her as being someone who almost beat her several times. But then we get the re-debut of Rhea Ripley. And this is it? Rhea Ripley, who's had one match in the WWE, walks into a ring and for no earthly reason just says, Charlotte's down with COVID, and so I'm here to challenge you. And Asuka says, okay. That's it. That's the debut. That's it. That's what you got for her. So let me get it straight. Rhea Ripley can just walk in to this federation and automatically get a title shot, and no one backstage is like, wait a minute. We've scraped and clawed all year for a title shot. We don't get it, and Rhea Ripley just walks in and automatically gets it? Now, Rhea Ripley didn't come off as a heel or a face. She just came off as somebody who wants a title shot. This is the best you got for Asuka's storyline? What you should have done, if you were smart, is play up the injury that Asuka had and let her go against Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania. To hell with the tag team titles. Take it off them. Because at least there was a story there. There's no story here. The story is Rhea Ripley's here now. And apparently she automatically gets a title shot because why? By the way, the match she did have, she lost. Charlotte Flair beat her. So Rhea Ripley's had a match, that, to my knowledge, in the WWE, and that match was a loss. And she gets a title shot. I don't think this is a great way to debut Rhea Ripley, who, by the way, is a great athlete, but her mic work last night was terrible. Not decent, not fair, terrible. Asuka was better, and she barely speaks English. If that's the best Rhea Ripley can come up with, this ain't going to work. Tell you right now, it's not going to. Because she came off as unbelievable. She came off as the whole thing was staged. She came off like she was reading it off the palm of her hand. Her facial expressions were poor. Her acting was poor. I ain't liking it. Now, she's a great athlete. She'll put on a great match. This could be one of WrestleMania's better matches. But as far as selling the fight, I don't know. I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, other than her physical skills. I've always thought Rhea Ripley was a little overrated. I don't see her as somebody who cuts a great promo or makes a great face or even a great heel. She's just kind of one of those, yeah, she's a good athlete type people. Yeah, she puts on a good match type people. But I don't see people getting behind her. And I don't see people being booing her or being, you know, against her. I see her as one of those people that people are just like, yeah, she's good. So I don't know, Mike. I was a little underwhelmed by the way they introduced Rhea Ripley. I realized that they had to do it last minute, but I think they could have come up with something better than this.
You know, and if they had done it sooner, they could have done this. They could have, when she, they could have ended the that whole segment when Asuka said, "You're not ready for Asuka," and just have Asuka walk out of the ring and have Rhea Ripley chase after her and chase after her and chase after her while winning matches, of course, you know. But they don't have the time right now. They waited too long to reintroduce her. You see what I'm saying, Marcus?
I do, because they thought Charlotte Flair was going to be the one. They were going to wait until after WrestleMania to introduce Rhea Ripley. So I understand that it's late, but you can't come up with something better. How about if she's going to be a heel, how about she sneak attacks her or something happens? But you can't just have her come in the ring and just say, "I deserve a title shot," based on what? She doesn't even have a match, Mike. She hasn't had a match in a year.
Right. And you know that right now against if you put anybody against, well, maybe not Peyton Royce because she's up and coming, but mostly anybody against Asuka, who everybody knows, that person's going to get booed. Asuka is the top face right now in the women's division.
Yeah, so I have no idea why. I guess Rhea Ripley's going to be a he. I don't know. I don't know what she's going to be. It's a confusing mess. I understand they were backed into a corner, but I just think that was poor execution. Anyway, The Miz comes out. Here's the ironic thing. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a huge, huge fan of rap music, but I am a musician, and I understand it. I certainly understand it. I understand how it's produced. I understand how it's written. I understand a lot about it. Maybe more than the average person. And I think it's pretty damn sad, and it's only my opinion, but I think it's pretty damn sad when two wrestlers come up with a friggin' joke hip-hop song and it's actually better than the guy who won the Grammy. Because I listened to the Booker T thing, and I thought that was terrible. And whatever the hell hey-ho thing they were doing last night was actually pretty good. And I'm saying to myself, well, I don't know, man. You know, here is Bad Bunny, and he's supposed to be the guy. And this Booker T thing stunk on ice as far as I'm concerned. And this wasn't terrible. It actually wasn't terrible. I mean, it was a joke. I get it, but it wasn't terrible. It was well-produced, and it was all right. It was fine. Now, what I did like, and I'm going to give credit to Jeff Hardy here. What I did like was Jeff Hardy says, "You know you can't beat me by yourself. So I know what's going to happen. You're going to have Morrison interfere in this match, and it's going to cost me the match somehow. If you really were confident, you really were a man, you'd send him to the back," and the Miz sent him to the back. And Hardy lost clean. So good for Jeff Hardy for putting the Miz over. Now let me credit Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe was very, very, very good on the mic this week. Better than the other two, which is pretty sad since he hasn't been doing it very long. But I think what he did was he ended up selling the Bad Bunny thing while at the same time selling the Miz. Because when Bad Bunny did what he did, he says, "Look, here's the deal. okay, he's brave and, you know, he's not going to take any crap from anybody, and I respect that, but this is not going to go well for him. Because at the end of the day, he's a rap artist, and this is a guy who's a decorated WWE superstar. It's not going to go well. Period. It's not going to go well. That's somebody literally selling both people. I'll tell you why. Because now anything Bad Bunny does, even if he gets some offense, people will be like, well, he did better than most people thought. At the same time, if The Miz wins, and I'm assuming he'll lose, probably due to Damian Priest interference or something, but even if The Miz won, Bad Bunny comes out looking good, saying, well, what do you expect? Everybody knew he was going to lose, but, you know, he put up a really good fight for a guy who's not a wrestler. So I think Samoa Joe, all night long, Samoa Joe did a pretty good job. And sometimes he did an excellent job. But this just goes to show you how good The Miz can sell a fight, because who the hell wants to see Bad Bunny against The Miz? I thought it was going to be Damian Priest and Bad Bunny against The Miz and Morrison, in which case at least we have three wrestlers in there. The Miz is going to have to carry Bad Bunny. I mean carry him on his shoulders. And I don't know. I mean, they picked The Miz on purpose because everyone says The Miz works so light and he's extraordinarily safe and no one's ever going to get hurt wrestling The Miz. That's probably why they picked him. But at the end of the day, this is a guy who, how much could he train? A couple of weeks. So, you know, there's potential there to get hurt. There's definitely potential there to get hurt. And it's not going to be a good match because he's not a wrestler. And if he goes over, I just don't know how the hell you're ever going to rehab The Miz. Because this is a guy who's, what, 5'7", 150 pounds? You can't beat him. But you can beat Jeff Hardy? If this match stays just Bad Bunny against The Miz, Bad Bunny has to lose and lose big and bad. I'm sorry, but he does. Now, you're going to have Damian Priest interfere and do whatever you need to do to set up some other thing, but you can't have The Miz lose to Bad Bunny. You just can't. So anyway, I'm kind of looking forward next week, Mike, if they're going to do this music video, because I really think, you know, and it's just my opinion, but I heard Bad Bunny do his Booker T song. And I wasn't overly impressed. And I just heard The Miz and Morrison do whatever little sticky song they did, and it was actually pretty good.
Right. That rap song was done for comedy, and that, it kind of reminded me a lot of what guys like Ray Stevens and Weird Al, you know, right, comedy and stuff like that. But it came up, like you said, it came off better than the actual guy song. I mean, look, we talk about how good, and we'll get to him. We talk about how good Elias is. I mean, I guarantee you that song, if they decided to put that song out as a single, it would sell, the Miz's song.
They might do it. Yeah. You know, they just might do it. They might put it up on iTunes or something, because why not, you know, make a few bucks. Bad Bunny gets in the ring at the end and hits The Miz with a chair, which I think The Miz oversold. You know, again, Bad Bunny's 140 pounds. I know the chair hurts, but, you know, would it really devastate him? I don't know. You know, would it devastate The Miz? I he had to do what he had to do. But I'm telling you this, if you're going to have Bad Bunny go over, it better be with Damian Priest's 100% help. Because anything less than that, and you have absolutely destroyed The Miz probably for life. And there's no reason to do that. And by the way, you've destroyed Jeff Hardy. If you're Jeff Hardy, how would you like to be the warm-up guy? I'm setting up Bad Bunny. I'm the guy who loses to The Miz so he can go on to face that fierce, you know, former 24/7 champion Bad Bunny. I don't like it. So So I don't know, Todd. I mean, I think Bad Bunny's got to lose this and lose big unless Damian Priest does something.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about the Bad Bunny thing and the Miz and Damian Priest and the John Morrison thing. That video we watched, so that was like a little sneak peek we seen last night. It reminds me back in the day with the West Texas Rednecks. There's a rapist video.
Yeah, that was funny. I thought Morrison had a good line too when he said, "What's the opposite of Bad Bunny? Good rapper." I don't see it. Look, if you're a big Bad Bunny fan, God bless you. I've only heard the one song, and I just thought it was terrible. I mean, I don't think it was. I don't understand. I don't get it, I guess. And again, I don't listen to a lot of rap, but I certainly appreciate it. I can listen to a rap song and say, okay, that was good. You know, I get it. I don't get the Bad Bunny thing. Anyway, we get a little bit of a, I don't know what you want to call it, I guess a argument between the New Day and AJ Styles about who knows Omos better. This was sad. It was really sad that AJ Styles has to be stooped down to comedy. And Omos, this is not what you want from Omos. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to make him a likable character. I mean, Omos should be a guy that just says, I'm going to tear your head off. Period, end of conversation. Instead, he's relegated to, what's your favorite flavor of ice cream? AJ Styles says, I know, it's vanilla bean. No, it's not. It's something else. See, you don't know him. This is not what you want Almost to do. Yeah, you just don't. Almost looks like he's siding with the New Day more than he's siding with AJ Styles. And I guess that's what you're trying to say, is that will Almost actually end up being a face and not do these things. No, I don't think that's what you want right now. Don't you want Almost to just be this monster? I mean, I think it would have been much better if the New Day tried to play those games and Almost just roared at them, you know, I'm going to tear your head off at WrestleMania. So they realized, this guy ain't joking. He's going to try to kill us. And it's not going to be easy to combat this guy. Instead, made him look like they're all running buddies or something. I don't like it. What I did like was the match. AJ Styles and Kofi Kingston put on a great match, as you would expect they would. There was a part in it that fooled me, because when he went for the Trouble in Paradise and AJ Styles kicked him in the back of the head, I legit thought he killed him, because the referee went down like a shot to ask Kofi Kingston if he was okay. The replay, which they showed in slow motion, looked like there was plenty of contact, and I said, holy shit, he brained him. But he didn't, obviously, because Kofi was fine, so that just goes to show you how, you know, when you're really good, you can fool anybody. And I thought AJ Styles did a fantastic job of trying to do the phenomenal forearm and got distracted by the trombone, which was pretty funny. I'm not a big fan of AJ Styles doing the comedy stuff, but the match itself was great. I just think they're handling Almost wrong. I would rather him be like this big, silent, monstrous giant who you don't want to piss off, Mike, than this type of a guy.
Yeah, and to tell you, yeah, I mean, I know at one point we thought where they were headed was with this was AJ being Shawn Michaels and Almost being, you know, Diesel, right? That's where I thought we were headed with this. Now, do I want to see that match again? Hell yeah, I want to see that match again. You know, AJ and Kofi. I'd like to see AJ and Xavier Woods. I mean, could it be coming? Possibly, maybe. I mean, if it holds true, what they usually do is they have the two guys face the other two guys in singles matches. Now, granted, they're not going to put Almost in the ring before WrestleMania, but they could very well put AJ against Xavier before WrestleMania.
Yeah, they certainly could. Look, those guys are pulling off great matches. It's the gimmick and the angle behind the matches that's given me some problems. I was looking forward to this match because I thought, well, man, Almas is going to get in there and just we're going to see something. Now I'm thinking to myself, maybe we're not. I got a feeling the New Day is going to retain this somehow, and I don't know. I'm hoping not, but we'll see what ends up happening. Anyway, we get Sheamus backstage being interviewed, talking about what ended up happening with Drew McIntyre. And he says, well, that's just respect. We have mutual respect for each other, but I still hate the ground he walks on. I didn't ask for his help. He gave his help willingly out of respect. I really thought more was going to come out of this, especially when it was announced there was going to be a two-on-one handicap match, and I said Sheamus is going to interfere in this. Sheamus is going to make sure that there's nobody at ringside for WrestleMania as the payback to Drew McIntyre helping him. But no, they left that dangling. I mean, now is the time to kind of reconcile. I guess they don't want Sheamus' face yet because he's going to fight Matt Riddle. That's obvious. If you think for 1 minute people are going to root for Matt Riddle is just a very annoying character. No one's rooting for Riddle. I'd love to see Sheamus have that belt because he deserves it. He actually deserves it for how hard he's been working. If anybody deserves to have the belt, it's certainly Sheamus. Now, the one thing I did notice about this show is we saw the breakup of Retribution and they weren't even on the show. They did not follow up on that angle at all, which is weird. I don't know where they're going with it. I thought for sure we'd get something on this show, Todd, but there was no Retribution at all. It just seems like it's a forgotten angle. I don't know why.
You're absolutely right there, like you said, about the Retribution thing. Like you said from the other night when they broke up, I never liked it from the get-go. It was just, I didn't seem like it how they made a angle up, and it just... This was terrible writing right there. Wrong leader,
It could be good, but they ruined it. But why not? I mean, why didn't they show anything last night where they broke up at the pay-per-view? You'd think there would be something. You'd think Ali would say something. You'd think Retribution would be there. They did nothing. It's really weird, Todd. I don't know. I guess they just, I don't know. Maybe they're just dropping it completely. I thought it was an angle. Maybe it's not. Anyway, Drew McIntyre has a good match with the Hurt Business, ends up defeating both of them, which really pisses off MVP and really pisses off Lashley, who then goes and asks for help again. It makes no sense. So I guess we're going to see, like, Drew McIntyre for the next couple of weeks have a bounty on his head. Most of the people that were in that locker room got no chance of beating Drew McIntyre. And most of them were faces, so I have no idea where they're going with this. I really don't. We get the women's tag team champions, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, defending against Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke. And Lana and Naomi were at ringside to be special, I guess, commentators. They were terrible. I don't even know what they said. They talked over each other. They made no sense. At one point, I think somebody said something somewhat inappropriate because there was like this hush, and I don't know what the hell's going on. All I know is I'm not interested in the tag team division at all on the women's tag team division because I don't see it as being taken seriously. You have Lana and Naomi, and apparently, for whatever reason, Naomi can do movie roles and be excellent. Or she can be given a script and to do for the WWE and come off flawlessly. But if she has to ad-lib anything, she's terrible. Lana's not much better. So that team is just thrown together, hishka-bibble, nobody cares. Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose have lost more times than I just don't know who. So they're not being taken seriously in any way, shape, or form. So what do we got left? I haven't seen the Riot Squad in I don't know how long. What do we got left? When Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler break up, there isn't even a tag team division. It was a very poor idea because you knew you didn't have enough people. You knew it wasn't going to work out well. So you just threw together some individuals and said, you're a team, that's it. And you may as well give it to Natty and Tamina. At least they're mainstays. You're not doing anything else with them. So you may as well. Not liking the way this is going. The women's tag team division to me is just, it's a joke, Mike, and I see nothing there that's interesting or no teams that have any chemistry.
Right, and here's another thing to think about. They ruined Lana on the mic. Lana, when she was with Miro, and even a little bit after that, she was almost gold on the mic, all right? How can you ruin that? How can you do that? And the WWE has done it.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Lana knows who she is right now. I don't think she knows who she's supposed to be. She's just trying to be this excited, oh, I'm in a good tag team finally. It's not working at all. I think she's trying to be more herself and less character, and it's not working. Now, Drew McIntyre said just the opposite. He said, when I started to be more myself, and less a character, it started to work. It started to gel for me. Sometimes that happens. Happened with Asuka. And then sometimes it's the opposite. If you're not that character, you're just not that interesting. And I think Lana's running into that, unfortunately. Anyway, we get to Elias, who for whatever reason was scared to take on Braun Strowman on the pay-per-view, but he's eager to take him on this week. And him and Shane do a song, which is pretty funny. The funniest thing is Shane is actually a tiny little bit better singer than Elias. Elias' main strength is, you know, he's a good guitar player. He's not a great singer. But Shane was actually a little sharper than Elias, but it was funny. It was a funny song. Again, though, it makes no sense why Shane McMahon would just come out of nowhere and say, I'm just here to make fun of Braun Strowman for kicks, because there's no other reason. He's never given one reason why I've come here to make fun of Braun Strowman. Why? And in about the 4 minutes in which Elias is squashed, the single stupidest thing I have ever seen happened. When Braun Strowman is outside the ring about to do his running shoulder block, they actually pumped in noise of a train. Twice. I don't know who the hell thought this was a good idea. But this makes Braun Strowman look like the biggest dick, the stupidest satire wrestler. I could see if you did something goofy with Riddle, but you're doing this with Braun Strowman? And then Braun Strowman literally says, I'm challenging you to a match at WrestleMania. Oh, my God. And Shane says, I accept. Well, wait a minute. You didn't even want to match with him at Fastlane. There's a lot of stuff in this Monday Night Raw that made no sense. And there's a lot of missed opportunities. I would have loved to have seen Sheamus and Drew McIntyre come face-to-face. They didn't have to reconcile, but you could have had that moment. You could have had that moment where Sheamus said, I guess you expect me to say thank you. Well, I'm not. I didn't ask for your help. I didn't need your help. And whatever you did on your own. And McIntyre could have said, I know you didn't ask for my help. You never asked for my help. But you know what? Ask yourself this, if that had been me getting beat down, would I have seen you? Because I think I might have. And then just walk off. So Sheamus is left to say, you know, maybe he's right. It's okay to have Sheamus be a heel, but he's still a friend with Drew McIntyre. It's okay to be that. Because I got a really good feeling you're going to give Sheamus his belt. I got a really good feeling you're taking this off Matt Riddle. I think the Riddle thing is about over. I think they realize this ain't working. I mean, after all, he's the pre-show match at a very, very minor pay-per-view. So I don't see Riddle hanging on this belt much longer. So you missed an opportunity to have that camaraderie where you say, those guys are weird. I mean, Sheamus is a heel, and he'll beat the hell out of McIntyre, but at the same time, he won't let anybody else do it, and vice versa. And I guess that's just the way they are. That would be cool. You missed that opportunity. You also missed the opportunity to have Bobby Lashley say, I do need help, but I need competent help, instead of saying, I don't need help. See, when you say you don't need help, that means I don't want anyone to help me. And then you go looking for help. As opposed to, yeah, you were at ringside to help me and you hurt me. Because you're incompetent. That's different. So you missed that opportunity. You missed an opportunity for Rhea Ripley to show up and do something and establish herself. Is she a face? Is she a heel? If she's a face, how about you have somebody else come down and attack Asuka so we get a 2-on-1 and then Rhea Ripley makes her debut by clearing the ring and then telling Asuka, you know, I didn't do this because I like you. I did this because I got a favor to ask. And then at least we'd know she's a face. Or attack her and then she's a heel. Don't just come in the ring with a stupid smile on your face looking like an extra from Mad Max and say, I want a match. Because that doesn't fly. People who don't know Rhea Ripley still don't know Rhea Ripley. They're like, well, what is she? Is she heel? Is she face? What's her gimmick? We don't know. There's a lot of people who don't watch NXT. They don't know. And they still don't know. So you did a very poor job of fleshing out her character. Very poor. So there's a lot of things on this show that really didn't make a ton of sense. And then we get to Randy Orton saying, I'm going to summon the Fiend. You're going to summon the Fiend? Well, that'd be the last thing in the God's green earth you'd want to do after what you went through at Fastlane, but okay. And he doesn't summon the Fiend. Well, Alexa Bliss does. And he tries to burn him up again, because that makes sense. That worked the first time, right? RKOs him. Which the Fiend sells, which is really a little weird, but okay. And then just pops back up. And once again, Sister Abigail's. I had a news flash, folks. You're killing the Fiend. You're killing it. I'm sorry, but if you want to promote this guy as psychopathic and whatever, you got to have him pour that gasoline all over Randy Orton and have police and security run in there and a mob scene happen and him throwing security all over the place and Randy Orton being pulled out of the ring, just barely escaping with his life while the announcers are saying he was literally going to set him on fire. He did the eye for an eye type thing. You can't just have him Sister Abigail him and stand there and raise his arms. It's not enough. It doesn't make any sense. How is the Fiend a violent maniac? He's not doing anything. All he's doing is giving him his finisher. You got to establish him as he's looking to kill Randy Orton. And if it weren't for some people who helped out, he might have. That should have happened at Fastlane. It should have happened last night. Instead, we just get this RKO and he stands over his body. I mean, we get the Sister Abigail and he stands over his body again. It's not working. It's just not working. And I get this stinking feeling in my gut we're seeing the low end of the Fiend here. Because once he gets by this Randy Orton feud, I have no idea what's going to happen. You're going to bring back the Firefly Funhouse? You're going to bring back the sweater vest Bray Wyatt? What are you going to do? You can't sustain this. I'm telling you right now, it won't fly. This will not fly. This act, it will not fly. The current way you have this going – is going to get old. It's already old. And it's going to get older really quick. It's not going to work. As much as I love Bray Wyatt, as much as I'm a big Alexa Bliss fan, this is not going to work. What was on target to work is The Fiend coming back a vicious maniac, getting his revenge on Randy Orton to the point where people say he might even went too far. And then shooting off into that angle where Alexa Bliss is really his prisoner, not his compadre. That would have worked. This Fiend, it's not going to work, I'm telling you. As cool as the outfit is and all that stuff, Mike, I don't see this as being a long-term thing.
And here's something else they wasted with this. They finessed a basic intergender match on the pay-per-view, right? Because
yep.
She got the win. She got the pin. They did that, and they had a couple of good. They had a couple of good spots in that match, including when they dropped that lighting rig on, almost dropped the lighting rig on Randy Orton, you know. So they did a good job with that thing by finessing that match, and it's almost like they wasted it now.
Yeah, because in reality, Alexa Bliss did more to try to hurt Randy Orton than The Fiend. Because I'm sure having a lighting rig drop on you would be a hell of a lot more serious than a Sister Abigail. So let me get this straight. A guy burned you alive. Somehow you managed to come back. And your revenge is, I'll just hit my finisher. I wanted to see a maniacal Fiend. I wanted to see a Fiend that drug Randy Orton somewhere and was attempting to do something that you'd say, well, that's going to kill him. And literally have police, security, other wrestlers, everything run out. You know, have them thrown around wrestlers like ragdolls, security like ragdolls, till literally the announcers are saying, this is 100% out of control. He's 100% psychopathic. Because then you say, whoa, shit, man, I don't know what the hell he's unleashed, but this is really worse than even The Fiend was before. And The Fiend was bad enough before, but not this bad. But instead, we get a much milder Fiend. I'm just going to hit my finisher and raise my arms. Yay, I did it. This is awful. Because, you see, if you made The Fiend much more violent, then once he got by Randy Orton, you could easily flip him back to heel, where Alexa Bliss is his prisoner. And then you'd have a whole new set of people to have to go up against him because they'd be the faces, not the heels. That should have been the way it was handled. Instead, you're going in this direction where I'm telling you, it's not going to work. Not long term, it's not. This is a very short term angle. Once you get by Randy Orton, I don't know what's going to happen. So what do we get in this Monday Night Raw? Well, we got some good matches. AJ Styles versus Kofi Kingston was a very, very good match. I thought Sheamus versus Bobby Lashley was a very, very good match. And I thought Drew McIntyre against the Hurt Business was a very, very good match. There were three really good matches. And I got news. Asuka versus Peyton Royce was a good match. So really, there were four really solid matches. So if you just want to rate it on that, Monday Night Raw was pretty good. And even Jeff Hardy and The Miz wasn't terrible. So the action itself, for the most part, minus Braun Strowman's train noise match, which was dumb, and the tag team match, which was boring, everything else was pretty damn good. But so many missed opportunities and so much storyline that makes no sense. That it really, I think it hurt the show. Bobby Lashley's motivation makes no sense. Shane McMahon's motivation makes no sense. Braun Strowman having train noises pumped in makes no sense. Rhea Ripley just getting a title shot because my name's Rhea Ripley makes no sense. the Fiend's not being maniacal in his hatred for Randy Orton makes no sense. None of that makes any sense. And when things don't add up, like we've said on this show, when you can't get behind an angle because it really doesn't make any logical sense, you've wasted it because the fans can't relate to it. If you're a Fiend fan, please tell me that you wouldn't want to see the Fiend come out from underneath that ring with that look, beat Randy Orton damn near senseless, and literally attempt to burn him alive or kill him until you literally had security have to run in the ring and other wrestlers drag Randy Orton off while he was throwing security around like a maniac. And Alexa Bliss was up on the turnbuckle laughing at it all. And the announcers were screaming, this is totally out of control. There's security being hurt. There's wrestlers are even trying to get Randy Orton out of the ring. This isn't wrestling anymore. He's attempting to, you know, seek his revenge. This is going to end badly. That way, the WrestleMania match, you know, you could have these announcers say, this is going to end very poorly because Randy Orton's going to be fighting for his life. And this could end badly. That would have worked. I don't know anybody that just wants to see the Fiend give him a Sister Abigail and say, yay, I got my revenge. That's your revenge. Then what's Randy Orton afraid of? If that's your only revenge, big deal. A lot of people have been Sister Abigail'd, including Randy Orton. So what are you afraid of? Doesn't make sense. I think you missed the opportunity to have Sheamus and Drew McIntyre do this. We're not really reconciled, but we kind of know we are. You know, Sheamus saying, I still hate you, and Drew McIntyre saying, yeah, I hate you too, but you know they don't. And you know down the road somewhere they're going to help each other again. That would have been cool. We should have got something with Retribution, even if it was just Ali saying something. We got nothing. So I think they missed a lot of opportunities. I really do. For that reason, it's going to lower my grade. I'm going to give it a C-. And I think if they had have done a little better job, because I think the matches were probably pretty close to an A-. So that's a shame. But I can't give it any higher than that, Todd, because I just think they missed too many opportunities last night.
What's your rating? Right, I go with you on this one, too, the same grade.
So we got 2 C-, and we're Mike. What do you think?
I got to go C- for your reasons because, you know, again, the matches were an A-, and if everything was even, it probably would have been an A+. You know, if everything was even, and the train noises didn't help, you would expect something like that. For, I don't know, Big E or whatever, somebody like that that has been doing, Big E's trying to be serious, but Big E has done comedy, you know, and he could carry that off, you know, a big guy running through somebody. Yeah. So
did that, we'd accept it, but not Braun Strowman.
No. You're right, and that's the thing. I've said it before about Asuka, that whole segment should have ended with her saying, you're not ready for Asuka, and walking away. That's where it should have ended at.
Something should have happened, because the bottom line is, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Is Asuka supposed to be the one we're rooting against? Because if that's the case, it's not working. The fans are not going to side with Rhea Ripley. Fans like Rhea Ripley, and I know a lot of people say, we want her to be the champion, but come on. Do you really? With the mic skills she showed, what are we going to get? Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte? Again, I don't want that. I'll tell you what I want. I want Asuka to retain and go against Becky Lynch. Because the storyline you could have would be so goddamn good. If you really want to turn Asuka heel, what better way than Becky Lynch to come back? And say, there was a time when I handed Asuka this belt. And I told her, you're the one, you're the best. And there's nobody else that I would hand that belt to. You're the one who's going to carry this division while I'm gone. And I remember her being so happy and that I was pregnant and so happy she was the champion that she ran around here and cheered and screamed. And it made me feel good because I knew I gave it to the right person. And I knew when I come back, she'd be the person to give me my shot back. And then you can have Asuka to, like, attack her and say, you're not getting a shot. I'm not giving you the, you know, I'm not giving you the shot. That would work. Or you could just have her have a friendly match. Either way, that's the money match. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte's not the money match, I'm telling you. The money match is Becky Lynch, Asuka again. And replay that whole history of what happened at the Royal Rumble and the night after. That's the money match. And Asuka can sell it and Becky Lynch can sell it. Rhea Ripley's not going to be able to sell it. Not based on what I saw last night. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know where they're going with this. But Mike's right. More had to happen. Can't have this. That's just a mess. That's a last minute. We're too lazy to book anything. Just throw her in there and say, I want a title shot. And Asuka say, okay. As far as the train noise thing is concerned, yeah, I mean, if the New Day had a box and Big E did that and Xavier Woods played the train noise, you'd say, yeah, well, that makes sense. And that would actually be funny. But to have the actual WWE sound guys do it backstage, that's just, oh, my God, was that terrible. I mean, that was embarrassingly terrible. Embarrassingly terrible. You want to talk about Braun Strowman being done. He is done. Finished, kaput, done. And, man, I'll tell you, you want to talk about destroying somebody. At one time, that was the big deal. When you heard that roar, you were like, oh, shit, somebody's getting their ass killed. This is a guy's tipping over ambulances and attempting to murder people. He's a monster. Now he's just an idiot who makes train noises when he, it's God almighty. You can't get worse than that. You can't get worse than that. So, yeah, I mean, they missed a lot of opportunities last night. It's a shame. Well, I'm very interested to see what happens on SmackDown. Like, we're going to get Daniel Bryan added to this match, and we're going to get Edge's motivation for what he did. So that should be very, very interesting. And we'll try to bring you more on the Charlotte Flair situation if we get any more information. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.